I bumped into somebody who used to come to Shiloh yesterday when I was in Bangor doing my Christmas shoplifting, and I joke about that. I remember a friend of mine, it was the first person I ever buried, and he had called to the house, you know, all these bags, you know, it was Christmas time. And he says, I was just down doing my Christmas shoplifting. But I bumped into this guy yesterday, and he used to come here, and he says, oh, isn't it great? He says, this time of year. I says, are you serious? He says, I hate this time of year. I hate Christmas. I despise it. And he says, oh, he says, that's right. I forgot about that. I remember you saying that in your sermons every Christmas, you know. But he says, do you not think, though, the good thing about it is that it brings out the good in people? And he says, and you consider that to be good? He says, why do people have to have Christmas to bring out the goodness? Surely we should be good all year round. We should be good to one another all year round. But he still thought it was a wonderful time, so we had to agree to disagree. Anyway, let me just pray for a second. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you would bless your word tonight, and may your word do its work in Jesus' name. Amen. Our three-part series, Glory to God in the High Street, ends tonight, as I said, and its aim, I suppose, was to help us check our motives for celebrating Christmas. You know, there's a lot of like religions that don't celebrate Christmas at all. They've no interest in it whatsoever. In fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses would say that they don't celebrate Christmas, and they're very biblically correct in what they're saying, because they're saying we do not celebrate Christmas because there is nowhere in the Bible that it says that we should celebrate the birth of Christ, and that's correct. I said, however, on week one that Christmas was not originally a Christian festival, but rather it was a pagan festival. It was a Yuletide festival that was hijacked by the early Roman church, and it was clothed in all of the religious trappings to help bring light and merriment into the darkness of winter. And see, Christmas, that's all it is. Don't buy into this religious nonsense that it's anything biblical. It's not. It's a load of rubbish that the church hijacked to bring in to get Christians to give them money or to make the winter seem a wee bit less long. There's good sound biblical teaching. You're going to heaven if you believe in Christmas. A load of crap. So, as Keith said last week, the Roman Emperor, and you need to look up this if you want to be sure yourself, the Roman Emperor Constantine, he had a key role in initiating Christmas from what was called Saturnalia. In fact, I had a wine and wine, as I call it. We had a glass of wine with my mate the other night, and we whine about the world, whine. And I was coming down, and I said to him, well, are you all set for the pagan festival? And he says, oh, Saturnalia. He says, I love it, Saturnalia. And that's actually what it was called. Constantine became a Christian, allegedly, and he wanted to bring Saturnalia into a Christian festival, because what he sought to do was he wanted to marry, this was like holding on to his old way of living, he wanted to marry the Roman sun, S-U-N, the Roman sun god, with the worship of the Son of God, of Jesus. And when Constantine legalized Christianity, because it was illegal for under 10 Roman emperors, it was illegal. And when Constantine legalized Christianity, it allowed for the incorporation of some pagan rituals and practices into the church, which have continued to this day. Saturnalia, for example, was celebrated with great feasting, giving of gifts to one another, and much merrymaking. Christmas trees were a European pagan act of tree worship. In fact, Christmas decorations came from when people were caught cutting down trees. They took them to a tree, they ripped open their bellies, and they brought out their intestines, and they decorated the tree with the people's intestines. So Christmas trees were a European pagan act of tree worship, also adopted into the Christian church. And in fact, Christmas lights originated from celebrating the winter solstice and were placed around people's homes to ward off evil spirits. Everybody flocking out to rip out the Christmas tree and take down their lights. And not only that, to top it all off, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever to suggest that Jesus was born on the 25th of December. And nowhere in the Bible are we exhorted to celebrate his birth. Now again, as I said, in light of all of that, our Glory to God in the High Street series isn't about spoiling or putting a dampener on people's Christmases. I couldn't care less what you're choosing to celebrate at Christmas time. It's about getting us to check our motives for why we celebrate it, if we celebrate it at all. So it's not spoiling people's fun, because I'm going to have a Christmas in Turkey like everybody else, and I'm going to enjoy the crack. But I know why I'm doing it. Not because of some pagan festival. And Christmas to me is something, it's like an every day of the year event. When you know Jesus, you've got something to sing about every day of the year. It's not happy birthday to Jesus on the 25th of December. So to be honest though, these days, and probably most people will agree, but these days it's hard to actually find an adult who doesn't believe that Christmas has become completely commercialized. It's a big business for the shops. They're all in it. Look, and even this year they're talking about bringing in the sales before Christmas, which is something I've always argued about and said, why do they do it as soon as the shops close 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve? They start talking about the sales that are going to take place. Why don't they, you know, if they want to do something nice, bring the sales in beforehand so that people can afford the stuff? But you see, it's big business. It's all commercial and materialism. It's all, commerce. It's all about glory to God in the High Street. But the message of Christmas, if it's about anything of value at all, it should be about a message of comfort and hope. It should be about glory to God in the highest and not glory to God in the High Street. It should be about celebrating God who sent his son Jesus into this world to die so that we might believe in him, so that we might live. And that's something, as I've said, to celebrate all year round. But let's read another of the announcements. Keith did the announcements last week to Mary and Joseph. I want to do an announcement this week on the birth of Jesus about the shepherds. So it's in Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading from verse 8, and I'll fly through this, right? Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. I'd say so. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ," or who is Messiah, "the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go down to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned to glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told them. I can't read this story of the birth of Jesus and the announcements and all of these things without laughing. Because, not that it's something to laugh about, but I always remember the friend of mine, I tell this story every Christmas. A friend of mine had come here one carol service. And he wouldn't be one of God's smartest creatures. And I had to give him a lift home, and Dave was up speaking, and Dave was talking about the nativity scene, which Keith mentioned last week has moved from outside the Northern Bank or the Danske Bank up to outside the post office now in Bangor. And Dave was talking about, you know, the nativity scene and the birth of Jesus, and how the nativity scene reflected what was taking place in Bethlehem and all of this. And my friend's sitting there, he's engrossed in what Dave was saying. And then he says, as I'm driving up the road, taking him home, he says, you know, he says, I never knew that. Deadly serious. He says, I never knew that. I says, what's that? He says that Jesus was born outside the Northern Bank. I nearly crashed the car. And had to pull over, laughing. And here is he. He says, you think I'm flaming stupid? He says, I knew it wasn't the Northern Bank in Bangor. It was a Northern Bank in Bethlehem. So you can understand when you're getting to doing the story of Jesus and the birth of Jesus, you can't. I laugh all the time. I've read somewhere, I don't know where it was, but I've read that the shepherds in the days of Jesus were likened to, I suppose, gypsies or Irish travellers in our time. Local townspeople didn't like them. They were often viewed as a despised group. But typical of humans in the days of Jesus, and just like us, they too had a tendency just to tar everyone. All shepherds were the same. Just like people tar Irish travellers, oh, they're all the same. They tar everybody with the same brush. Well, our shepherds in question were out in the fields at night keeping watch over their flock. Well, six of them were. The other five were down stealing garden furniture. But suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. Don't be afraid, the angel said. I have great news for you. How would you react? Sort of dandering through Castle Park. And bang, this big flash of light, the big thing stands there and says, don't be afraid. I'd be away like a shot. You know, how would you react? Sitting up on the hillside, mind your sheep. And this angel just, hello. I remember I was walking through Castle Park one day, and you're always a bit dodgy, especially when you're out of your face and drugs, but I was walking through Castle Park, I said, minding my own business, and this guy just jumped out of the bush and says to me, you know anybody looking for sweets? No thanks. And I flew like hell to get down into the town. And I was coming back up again, and honestly, I bumped into the same guy. He says, well, here. He says, hope I didn't frighten you. He says, I was talking about three-piece suite. The flipping heck. So imagine an angel coming saying, don't be afraid, I write. And then he says, I've got great news for you. And the angel continued, there is born to you this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. And it's interesting that the angel says, born to you. Now remember, shepherds were despised people. They were the Irish travellers. They were the gypsies that nobody wants to see in their communities. And here, this angel appears and says, don't be afraid, I've got great news for you. Born to you in the city of David is the Messiah Christ the Lord. And he's saying here, the angel rather is saying, born to you, is saying that Jesus is a personal Savior. He's personal. He's born to you. And if you can't claim that Jesus was born to you, you're not saved. He has to be personal. He has to be a personal Savior. The angel said, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and blankets, lying in a manger. Again, by the use of the words, he says, you'll find the babe. The angel suggests straight away that these shepherds are going to go to see for themselves. And then as the angel finishes his message, boom, suddenly there was a host of all of these angels suddenly appeared singing songs and shouting glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. I would have been out there like a shot. Sheep and all would have been left. And it wouldn't have been Bethlehem I'd have been running to. It was the nearest toilet. How do you imagine that? I mean, I have a vivid imagination. I used a lot of drugs in my days, and I can imagine a lot of things, but seeing something like that, I'd have been away like a shot, and maybe asked the other ones, what else happened? Because I'd have been away like a shot. But imagine what those shepherds must have thought. Interestingly, They decided quickly to go to Bethlehem and see for themselves what the Lord had made known to them. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And they told Mary, "You're never going to believe us, Mary and Joseph." Like, "Oh, no, we don't know you, but you're never going to believe us. Know how we got here? We were just out minding our own business, looking after sheep, and this angel appeared. And then there was a whole host of them started singing and all, and told us to go." And you can see, Mary said, "Ah!" It says, but she pondered these things, and she cherished them, treasured them in her heart. And some wise men who just happened to appear, they told them as well. You see, when God does something in a person's life, you have to tell people. And they rushed to tell people what the angel had said. And they said, "See the baby, this wee baby, we've been told is the Savior. It's Messiah, the Lord." The shepherds then, we're told, simply returned to their flock, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. That we despised a group of people looking after their sheep at night. Believed what the angel said, acted upon what the angel had said, and came back glorifying and praising God. God wanted local shepherds, despised people, to be among the first to hear the good news of Jesus being born to save people from their sins. Just simple men out working were confronted with a suddenly of God. And I talk about the suddenlies of God all the time. I'm actually standing here tonight talking like it's a suddenly of God, nearly expecting them to turn up behind me. You know, the suddenlies of God just happen. And these simple men were out doing their day's work when a suddenly of God happened and everything changed for them. They believed and they were among the first to see the Savior of the world. We should never think that God doesn't know or see us as we get about our daily business. And we have no idea when a suddenly from God will happen that will change everything for us. And who knows? It might even be a Christmas miracle. But let me point out something about the message the host of angels declared to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's a generic term, toward men and women. You see, the message of Jesus, the message of Christmas, the message about Jesus coming into the world is a message of comfort and hope for all people. But not all people will believe it, accept it, or act upon it. In fact, two translations of what the host of angels said is this: glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. And the Bible is clear: without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when they cried out, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased, it is to those who have faith, who believe the message. Another translation says that they sang, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Well, let me tell you this evening, God's favor, God's grace rests on those who believe. The message of Christmas, Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners, is a message for everyone, but not everyone will benefit from it. You see, those who choose to ignore, who choose to reject, or choose not to act upon God's good news, do not please God, and his favor does not rest on them. Let me make this perfectly clear. Those who choose to ignore, reject, or not act upon God's good news about Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners do not please God, and his favor does not rest on them. It is only good news to those who, like this shepherd, who believe it, accept it, and act upon it. It's only good news for them. Those who receive God's good news receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and are saved from their sins. And this is something to celebrate all year round, not just at Christmas. I had Shiloh, I think it was this year, singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing in July, I think it was, in one of my Sunday morning talks. And people down in the park thought, what's them loopers up there at? Because they think it's just a Christmas song. It's a song that can be sung all year round about Jesus coming into the world to reconcile God to man and man to God. It's something to celebrate all year round, not just at Christmas. Or as them stupid car stickers say about dogs, you could nearly put on it, Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas. You see, those who know the bliss of sins forgiven, and who through faith in Jesus have everlasting life, they and they alone can truly join with the angelic host and sing, glory to God in the highest. But those who reject Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who don't know him as a personal Savior in a personal way, can only really declare at Christmas time, glory to God in the high street. Because that's all it is. See, it's not my place, and it's certainly not the place of Shiloh Christian Fellowship to tell people that they can't celebrate Christmas. I'm going to celebrate Christmas, and the boys that are with me are going to have the best of time, I hope. And I'm going to enjoy festivities. But I'm asking you this evening to think about your motive in celebrating it. For you, is it really glory to God in the highest? Or is it glory to God in the high street? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what wonderful, wonderful good news those shepherds received. They may have been terrified as they looked after the sheep and the angels appeared. But what wonderful good news they heard. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. And thank you, Lord, that they heard it, they believed it, and they acted upon it. And they were among the first to see the Savior of the world. Thank you that that good news still resounds today right down to our generation about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. And thank you, Father, still that those who believe, who receive, and who act upon that good news know Jesus as their personal Savior and have everlasting life. Tonight, Almighty God, we say glory to God in the highest, for you deserve all the glory, and we thank you for Jesus, your Son. Amen.